Moore, here.
Rick Jones, present.
Jim Martinez, present.
And Kim Mullix, the mayor, is present, and I understand that before that, our counselor, Kathy Aiden, said she may not be able to make it for personal reasons, so I guess she didn't make it. With that, I'd ask you all to join in the Pledge of Allegiance, and I'd like to ask Dan Barco to lead us, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Dan. I don't know of them, but are there any added agenda items?
Nothing that I know of.
We'll move on to the consent agenda. Are there any comments, questions, or anything about that? And if not, I'll entertain a motion to...
Mr. Mayor, I need to state a possible conflict of interest with the wilderness garden.
Thank you very much. Let the record reflect that. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Move that we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Obviously none. It's approved. At this time, we do have on our agenda a public comments period, and I would say that if you've got anything that you want to make a public comment about that's outside the urban renewal agenda item this evening, now would be the time to do that. Do we have any public comment in that category? Hear none, thank you very much. We'll move on to item number 7, which is a hearing on ordinance number 2014-06, an ordinance making certain determinations and findings relating to and approving the Lapine Urban Renewal Plan. I will tell you in the beginning that there will be no vote on this at this time. This is just a public hearing where everyone is eligible and encouraged to make public comment relating to urban renewal. And with that, I will open the public hearing on Resolution 2014, the Urban Renewal Plan, and ask for a staff report. We'll have public comment here in just a few minutes.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and Council members. I get the privilege of doing your staff report tonight. So I will work through information on the Urban Renewal Program. And a lot of this will be repetitive to those of you who've been to many of the meetings, but it's really great to see you have a nice turnout tonight. A lot of these people are new, so I think that's great. And it'll so we will go through the basics of what urban renewal is so that everybody will understand what it is and how it works. And when I finish my staff report, then you'll take public testimony.
Okay. Can I ask everybody, can you hear?
No.
Okay.
Which button do you want me to push?
Red button. Yeah.
Is that better?
No.
Pull it a little closer to you.
Is that better? No. No. I don't see a light. Is there supposed to be a light?
There we go.
Okay.
Is that better?
Yeah.
All right. If we don't do this, I will hear about it when I get home.
All right. So, if anybody can't hear later and they raise their arm, then just let me know, because obviously I can't see them, so that would be great. Usually I am loud enough people can hear me. So, we'll go with that. So urban renewal started in Lapine.
Excuse me, can I just say, this is Elaine Howard of Elaine Howard Consulting, who is the city's consultant on urban renewal. Thank you.
Thank you. In the fall of 2013, Lapine had a community meeting where they talked about what they wanted Lapine to be and what kinds of options there were for growth in Lapine. I wasn't a part of that meeting, but one of the things that came out of that meeting was the potential of using urban renewal as a tool for economic development. Later that fall and in the winter, I was contacted by the city and asked to come in and do an urban renewal 101. Which we held here, and it was very well attended. And an Urban Renewal 101 just goes through the facts of what is urban renewal and how does it work, and we'll go through some of that tonight. After that, the City Council talked about urban renewal and decided that you wanted to proceed with developing a plan and see how that would work. So I was hired to work with you. A committee was formed of citizens and people who weren't directly serving as representatives of taxing districts, but were on different taxing district boards. So all of the major taxing district boards were contacted and asked whether they would like to be on the committee. A number of those responded that they did want to be on. The committee met three different times. The first time was to talk about a potential boundary. Well, we talked about Urban Renewal 101 again for those people who had not had that little background. We talked about potential boundaries and what kinds of things could be done in urban renewal in Lapine. The second meeting, we talked about goals and objectives and projects, and we'll cover those tonight. And then the third meeting talked more about the financial part of what amount of money could be raised from that particular boundary in urban renewal and what the impacts on taxing jurisdictions were. That committee voted unanimously to send the recommendation to the City Council that they would like to send the urban renewal plan out for public review and to go ahead and form an urban renewal agency and do the public review process. Informal letters were sent the week of June 9th to the 13th to all of the taxing jurisdictions by email so that they would know about the City Council meeting where an urban renewal agency was formed. So on June 16th, an urban renewal agency was formed by the Lapine City Council. And that agency is represented by the mayor, a member of the City Council, and then business people and community members from Lapine. It's a 7-member board. Formal letters were sent to the taxing jurisdictions on June 17th to outline the plan. A number of those taxing jurisdictions had been involved, so they knew the components of the plan and what was going on. So the formal letters were sent to comply with statutory requirements about working with taxing jurisdictions. June 18th, there was an open house at the Chamber, and it was very well attended, where we talked about urban renewal and specifically this proposed plan and what the projects would be and what the amount of money would be that would be used. The Planning Commission also met on June 18th, and they reviewed the plan for its conformance to the Lapine Comprehensive Plan and voted that the plan did indeed conform to the Lapine Comprehensive Plan. There was then a formal notice to all citizens of Lapine to tell them that there would be this hearing tonight and that if they wanted to come, people could come to the hearing. So there is the hearing tonight. On July 23rd is the anticipated vote for on this ordinance. And on August 4th, we have tentatively scheduled to have Deschutes County vote on the ordinance. They have to vote because there is property within the proposed boundary that is not in the incorporated city of Lapine. So they also have a vote. If they vote no, then the boundary as now drawn, the area would not, the plan would not be effective. So if for some reason they voted no, we would have to come back here and decide whether you wanted to take that property out and change the boundary. The Vote on July 23rd is on a non-emergency ordinance, which means it does not go into effect for 30 days. So the proposed boundary is shown here in light green. When we began meeting with the Citizens Advisory Committee, we talked about mostly wanting to concentrate on the commercial core of Lapine. When we first looked at it, we looked at the commercial core, which is to the right on the map, and we also went up into Wickiup Junction and looked at because there was some feeling that that area also needed to be improved. When we looked at the area, we saw that we couldn't include the area to the north because there are restrictions on the total assessed value that can be in the an urban renewal area, and it exceeded those parameters. So we went back with the committee and we decided through the committee that we would look just at this commercial core here that's in the main part of Lapine. During those meetings, there was some question about whether the property that was owned by BLM should also be included in the urban renewal area, and that's the property to the west there. The then Parks Director requested that it be included in the urban renewal area because there was not adequate infrastructure both to the site and on the site for future development of the Rodeo Event Center. At that point, I wasn't exactly sure how that would work, so I told the committee I would have to go back and do a little research and make sure that that met the parameters of the law and what the implications would be. So I went back and did that research. It did meet the parameters of the law. We figured out that the only thing that needed to happen that was different from the process that we had already set up was that Deschutes County actually then had to vote on the plan. We did confirm also we did meet with Deschutes County last Tuesday to informally brief them on this proposal, and their assessor wanted to verify that when we talk about divide the taxes in a minute, that also didn't impact the Deschutes County residents, and he did verify that it does not affect people who are outside of the city of Lapine. So this is the proposed boundary. You can see it a little better here where it has the streets identified. So there are some properties that are taken out in the middle. You can see the little white areas that are taken out. The reason for that is when we looked at the limitations on assessed value, we still exceeded them if we included all of the property within that area. And so what we did was identify those properties that were more fully developed that probably would not need urban renewal assistance, and took them out of the urban renewal area so that you could concentrate on those properties that would more likely need assistance in the future. So on the compliance with the statutory requirements, there are two limitations for urban renewal. One is on total assessed value, and so of a city your size, your total assessed value in an urban renewal area may not exceed 25% of the total assessed value of the city. And at this point, this area is 23.20% of the total assessed value of the city, so it meets that parameter. And there's the same 25% parameter for acreage. Even with adding the large BLM property, the total acreage in the area is 577 acres. The total acreage in the city of Lapine is 4,474. So you're well below the acreage requirement. So you fit both of those guidelines that the statute sets out for urban renewal. When we met with the advisory committee, we talked about, well, what is it you really want the urban renewal plan to do in the city? What are your goals? So I'll go through these goals. The first was public involvement, so to provide for community input in urban renewal planning and administration. So we've had quite a bit of public involvement in this urban renewal plan, and I detailed that when I started. And the decision to have citizens on the Urban Renewal Agency board was a decision made by that committee, or recommendation by that committee, decided eventually by the City Council. So meets those standards of public involvement. The second goal was on economy, and the goal is to promote the role of the area as an energetic community of local businesses that is supported by the residents of both Lapine and outlying areas, and by tourists traveling through Lapine. So to make sure that your community has the businesses and business support that they need and desire within your own community, but also to try to capture more of the tourist travel that goes through your community to get them a stop and spend some of their money within your community. The third was to create an identifiable town center as a hub of your community activity. The town center, and this came somewhat from language that was in your comprehensive plan that was already adopted by the city. So the town center would be a compact area that is centrally located and planned for easy walking access. The uses would be comprised of a mixture of commercial businesses, civic buildings, and other community uses. And then within this town center, create a unique identity that strengthens the sense of place, promotes economic development through resident and tourist visits, encourages return patronage, and leverages private investment. One of the parcels within the area is a vacant parcel that is zoned mixed use and would be very beneficial to the city to have more residents who could live there and walk to their place of work or not have to travel far to their place of work. So the goal for the housing and mixed use area was to encourage development in the mixed use commercial residential district of the area. For infrastructure, the goal is to assist in providing infrastructure, water, sewer, storm water to encourage development in Lapine. And then on public facilities, to provide opportunities for residents and visitors alike to shop and recreate in Lapine, supporting public service providers and existing businesses, and providing stimulus for new economic activity. In the actual plan, there are objectives that go with these goals, and that plan is up on your website. Right, Ashley?
Yep.
So if anyone wanted to look at all of those specific objectives, they are certainly available. So once we, doing the goals and objectives and the projects was an interactive process because we wanted to talk about what it is we wanted to do in the community and then wanted to make sure our goals and objectives covered those. So the projects that the committee talked about that would help improve the economy in Lapine were to create an identity, so a place where people didn't just drive through and not really even notice that there was some place to stop and shop and eat their lunch and buy the things that they need to buy on the way to where they're going. So you do that by streetscape, art, trees, benches, arches, gathering spaces, wayfinding, signage for businesses. In Central Oregon, there are a number of other urban renewal areas, and you can see that they've done this particular thing within those areas. In downtown Redmond, they have done a lot to create their specific identity. In Sisters right now, they've just finished a major project along their main thoroughfare that was funded in part through urban renewal, not the main part, but it was an ODOT project. But after you go through, you can see they've really done a lot to improve their identity and the look of that. Along with that, they've done a lot of storefront loans. In Madras, you can see that when you drive through Madras now, they've done a really nice job of creating identity for their city. So that's the kind of thing that the committee was envisioning could happen for Lapine. And then assistance programs. This is something that's really very common in urban renewal. It's used by almost every agency that I've worked with. And that's doing storefront loans and grants to help improve the look of your businesses so that they look appealing to people to come to shop at, to help with redevelopment assistance if there's a developer who wants to develop in town and for some reason it doesn't economically work. Sometimes urban renewal can help make that project work so it can entice somebody to develop where maybe they wouldn't otherwise develop within your community. Acquisition is a component of the plan. I did get a call from a gentleman to ask about eminent domain, which is condemnation. Condemnation is only allowed within cities in Oregon now if you're doing it for a public purpose, so for streets, doing a water main or a sewer main or something like that. It used to be in urban renewal that you could condemn a private property and then resell it to another private individual. That's not allowed anymore. There was a statewide initiative that stopped that, and so this plan cannot use that, as well as no other plan in Oregon can use that. There was a provision for just looking at parking issues. Almost every town I work with says they have a lack of parking, and so at some point to identify in the future if there really is a lack and what needs to be done to help facilitate that. And then potential projects under infrastructure and public facilities. And what those might be weren't specifically identified in the plan, but what typically happens is if there is a development that is going to come in and it's not served by the infrastructure that it needs, the city then will partner with the developer. They'll say, we'll provide the infrastructure to the site, you provide the development. So that kind of work. It can also be working interactively with any of the other districts. For example, the Parks District has already said they are interested in having the city help them with components of the potential development of that BLM property into a rodeo events center. So those are the potential projects in the plan. When you look at an urban renewal plan, you have to then identify something that's called a maximum indebtedness, and it's labeled with an MI up there. And the maximum indebtedness is the controlling feature of urban renewal. It is the thing that controls how long an urban renewal plan goes and how much money you can use in urban renewal. I work with Echo Northwest out of Portland to do the financial analysis. We looked at the urban renewal area and talked about potential growth within the area. We settled on what is a fairly conservative 4% growth projection for the area over a 25-year time frame. So when you do an urban renewal plan, you have to project that amount of growth and try to estimate how much money then can be raised over that time frame. The 4% growth, again, it's fairly conservative. Growth in Oregon generally exceeds that average. However, in the last like 5 years in Central Oregon, it's been much lower than that amount. But the economics firm, Echo Northwest, was comfortable with that 4% growth figure over that time frame. So the maximum indebtedness that will be established for this plan, if adopted, would be $7,017,000. And that means that's the total amount of money that can be spent on projects, programs, and administration over the life of a plan. It does not include, if you borrow money or do a bond placement, it does not include the interest that you pay on that money. So I always want to make it clear, and that's written by statute. That's the way the statute lays out how maximum indebtedness works and what's counted as your maximum indebtedness. So we talked about a 25-year time frame. If your growth exceeds that 4%, it could be a shorter time frame. And if Central Oregon gets back into the economy that they had prior to the recession, everybody would anticipate it would exceed that 4%. If another recession comes, then it wouldn't, and it could potentially exceed that 25-year time frame. So those are projections given by an economist, and somebody asked me, well, can you guarantee you're going to get that amount of growth? No, there's no guarantees. Nobody can guarantee that that will happen. It's just our best projection about what could happen in the area with urban renewal. So this is kind of the meat of how urban renewal works. First, you designate an urban renewal area, so we had to establish the boundary, which we did. When you establish the boundary and if a plan is adopted, the assessor then does something called establish a frozen base for all of the properties within the urban renewal area. That doesn't really impact the property owner at all. It's something that impacts the taxing jurisdictions. So it doesn't freeze the base for the property owner in terms of anything real to them. It freezes the base for the future projections of who gets what share of property taxes. So taxes from that frozen base go to all of the taxing jurisdictions. So all the taxes off of the total assessed value of the area at the time that it's adopted continue going to all the taxing jurisdictions. But any increases in that base over the time of urban renewal goes to the urban renewal agency to spend. So this is what that looks like in concept. So the blue bar on the bottom would be the total assessed value of all the properties within the urban renewal area. And that orangish red bar shows the projected increase in the area over a 25-year time frame and the dollars that would go to the urban renewal agency. The theory of urban renewal is if you're able to concentrate your money and projects within a specific area, it should grow at a faster rate than it would have if you didn't have urban renewal, and that all taxing jurisdictions should benefit from that at the time that urban renewal terminates in the future. So what you would anticipate is you have better growth here, all taxing jurisdictions get more of that better growth in the future once urban renewal is gone. Again, this is only for those properties that are within the urban renewal area. So that 76% of properties that are not in the urban renewal area, the taxing jurisdictions all continue receiving their share of the taxing proceeds from all of those properties.
And that has to do with whatever grows, they'll keep getting, they'll get all of
that. That's correct. That's correct. So part of the requirement of doing an urban renewal plan is to make projections on the impacts on taxing jurisdictions over the lifetime of urban renewal, and that is a part of the urban renewal plan. It's actually contained in the report to the urban renewal plan. So we took a look at the 2013-14 permanent rate levy of the different taxing jurisdictions, and we looked at the amount of money that's actually projected in 2016, so the years are off a little bit because you wouldn't actually get money until 2016 in urban renewal, and looked at what percentage of that total permanent rate levy it is so that you could get some sense of the impact on the taxing jurisdictions. So you can see that the city is the biggest hit on percentage of taxing loss or foregone revenues to urban renewal, and that would be about 3% of your revenues in 2013-14 would be diverted to the urban renewal agency. You can see that most of the taxing jurisdictions that are countywide, it's a very low percentage because Lapine is a very low percentage of the total assessed value within the county. So most of those are under 1%, so if it's 0.02, it's 0.02%, so it's not even 1% of their total levy. That doesn't mean that those numbers aren't real to the taxing jurisdictions. They're real. They will forego that money. It is important to understand, and so we talked about in the advisory committee, and we always talk about in the public meetings, that the agency has a responsibility to make sure that the projects they do are projects that they believe will actually help the city to grow and the assessed value to increase and to cure blight within the urban renewal area. The school district and the ESD are, they're kind of in a different category in taxes because the impact of urban renewal is indirect on them. It's indirect because all of the funds that are received by the county assessor from the taxes that we all pay for the school district and the ESD are sent to the state school fund and reallocated on a per pupil basis. So the state sets up a per pupil amount of funding, and then they have to put together the amount of money to fund that per pupil ratio. That comes from property taxes, it comes from lottery funds, and it also comes sometimes from a backfill of income taxes. So they are not directly impacted by urban renewal. They're indirectly impacted. The community college is directly impacted. The reason we put those in two different categories, Oregon's property tax system is really complex, and they're actually under a different, there's a category for schools in our tax system, and there's a category for general government, and that's just the way our property tax system works, so that's why they're divided separately. So then we also looked at what the 25-year total impact would be on the taxing jurisdictions to get you to that $7 million that we talked about plus interest. So these are the totals based on the 4% growth rates. And these are future dollars. So if you looked at these in terms of today's dollars, it would be a lot less. So that's kind of a, you know, as you moved out, inflation causes an impact on those dollars. So, but these are the potential impacts on the taxing jurisdictions. So you can see the City of Lapine, the impact is over $1 million over that 25-year period. The impact to the fire district is projected at just over $1 million. Rural law enforcement, just under $1 million. Deschutes County, just under $1 million. So it is significant money. You don't get to the $7 million of maximum indebtedness without it coming from somewhere. So we did receive, the city did receive a formal letter from the Lapine Fire District. We are in the process of answering that letter. It's pretty much drafted. City manager's on vacation this week. He needs to look at that and fill in portions of it, and then it will be transmitted back to the fire district. They asked some specific questions about the urban renewal area, and they will be responded to prior to this coming to your vote on July 23rd. There was also an informal meeting last week where there are community members and the fire district was present to just talk about issues and to try to resolve some of the conflict between the parties. So the next steps are this, you have your public hearing tonight. This goes to a vote of your city council on July 23rd. It may be that the ordinance that's in front of you may be amended depending on the questions from the fire district, and if we do that, then we will repost that ordinance, but you still will be able to vote on it on July 23rd. And then Deschutes County is scheduled to vote on the item on August 4th. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them, or if you want to take public testimony, and then if you want me to answer any questions that people have, I can do that.
I think what we'll do is we will take the public comment and testimony at this time, and then there'll be questions there, I'm sure, so we'll go at that one, at that direction. Thank you. Council, did you have any questions? Or is that satisfactory? All right.
I'm going to take this back to the map.
Okay.
It's probably an easier way to do this.
Did everybody get a chance to sign up for comments? Okay.
With a show of hands, could I see who are residents of the city of Lapine this evening by raising your hands? If you live in the side of the city. And the second question I wanted to know is who is here representing a taxing agency? Thank you. That's basically, I just kind of wanted to get my head around that.
Thank you very much. We will go to public comment at this time, and I see a hand back there. Larry?
You want me to come up there?
Yes, please. Would you come up here and give me and address?
I'll even take my hat off.
And I'd ask staff to get the sign-up list and bring it up to me.
Nice to meet you. This thing working?
Lean into it.
I'm in it. I just wanted to make a couple of comments. The lady was talking about in this urban renewal area, you have a shovel-ready industrial park here in town that I think there's a lot of citizens don't even know is here. I bought property here in Industrial Park January 15th of 1997. I asked the question then, why are there no signs saying there's an industrial park up here? And I was told, well, we'll look into that. Well, now it's 17 years later, there's still no sign out there saying there's an industrial park up there. I no longer have a dog in that fight. I sold my property and got out of there. But if I'm a businessman coming through town and I want to look at some place to redevelop my business, I'm going to run right through town and I'm going to go to Bend and Redmond, because there's nothing here telling me there's an industrial park. And you have people on this board that have businesses in that industrial park that, you know, there could be some signage. I know that they say, well, the state owns the land next to the highway, so you can't put signage up there for it. That was one excuse I got. But I do know that if you want to roll a beer keg down 97th, Highway 97 to raise money for pregnant unwed mothers, there's signs all over town for it. You know, they can come up with an excuse for it, they'll put a sign anywhere. So I think when you do this, renewal, you need to look at signage for the industrial park. Otherwise, you're never going to be able to sell those shovel-ready lots out there. And really, in the last 10 years that I know of, they have a guy that it's his job to sell those lots that's employed by Deschutes County. And he gets a pretty good salary for it, and I'll bet he hasn't sold two of them in 10 years. All right? So you need to look at that in your signage. That's all I got to say.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yep.
I do have a list.
I forgot to introduce myself. My name's Larry Pierce, for those of you that know me, and that's Larry Pierce for those of you that don't know me.
At this time, I do have the list, and I will follow that. And Al Zupo?
That's me.
Al, please come up. I'd ask you to sort of lean into the microphone. And if you would give your name and address,
sure.
Your address will work.
My name is Al Zupo. I live at 55597 Big River Drive. That's out of the city. We're in the Oregon Water Wonderland, Unit 1 neighborhood, about a mile and a half west of Thousand Trails, for people that don't know us, but that's us. That's where we are.
Thank you.
And I previously have talked with Commissioners DeBone and Unger, because I wear two hats. One, individually, I support all of the stuff that Lapine can do to make it a viable community. I come here and shop whenever I can to support that. But I also wear the hat as president of our Property Owners Association, and we're under the Oregon Planned Community Act, which one of our charges is to be concerned about the health and safety welfare of our residents. So the concern that I have is the monies that are being lost, so to speak, to the Sheriff Department, the 911, and particularly the Fire Department. Because about 3 years ago, when they had a levy, to pass a levy, they came to our annual meeting and were showing how the fact that they couldn't respond as quickly to all of the calls they had, because they had several duplicate calls, and convinced probably a lot of our neighbors to vote for the levy. And I guess our concern is losing $1 million in revenues over a 25-year period. We don't want that to be able to lower the level of service. Many of our residents are, like me, elderly. I'm on Social Security, so I can say that. So I guess that's our biggest concern, is we want to keep the level of service. We respect what the fire district does. We also rely on the sheriff department, as the city of Lapine does, for those calls. And I guess we're concerned that we don't lose that issue. And I guess our other concern is that what happens if we have another housing debacle like we did in 2008, where property values probably dropped in half. What happens to the tax collections? Who's responsible if those monies aren't collected because of the above the frozen level? And I do question the school funding issue. I know I went on to Redmond's Urban Renewal, and the selling point was that out of the $42.2 million that was coming out of Redmond, and it's $3 million from Lapine, that those monies are not lost. It comes back from the basic school support. But to me, all the taxpayers of Oregon put money into that pot in income taxes and property taxes. So in any urban renewal district, it seems to me that all the taxpayers of Oregon are funding part of that thing. And I may be wrong, but I, you know, that's one of the things I did as an educator, is I taught the taxing unit, and I didn't know about urban renewal at that time. Let's see, I think that's all. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them. But thank you for listening,
any questions, Councilor?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. Hank Kelly?
Yep. Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to defer my time for the Chief.
Chief Sopkis?
I think you just put it on the list if you can.
Okay. Jerry Hubbard?
Good evening. My name is Jerry Hubbard, 17065 Azusa Road, Sun River. I've been on the fire board for 3 years, have another 4 years to go, and I wanted to just provide a little insight about Lapine Rural Fire Protection District. And, you know, the board supports improving the city of Lapine, or improving the urban rural renewal district. We're just opposed to tax increment financing. To give some of the audience some information about Lapine, we have a 110 square mile fire district, a 1,000 square mile ambulance service district. In we have three fire stations, a chief, assistant chief, one insurance billing clerk, an office manager, 22 professional firefighters, and we have 15 students going to community college working on a two-year degree in fire technology, and we pay their tuition, books, and give them a stipend. A lot of them live at Station 103 on Burgess and Day Road, and once they go through Fire Academy, they're able to respond to 911 calls. Those 15, we have a total of 15 students and six new ones this year, so that's, we pay $43,000 in to give those 15 students a full ride going to going to school. Some of the things that the fire department does is, over the 4th of July weekend for the rodeo, we participated in the rodeo. We always have had two paramedics for the July 4th and 5th day events at our cost of $200 an hour. This year, at the request of the Rodeo Association, we added Friday night's bull riding, where we had a paramedic unit on site, again at $200 an hour in donation to the Rodeo Association. July 4th weekend was really busy. We, over a 24-hour period, we had 48 emergency calls, including several severe automobile accidents. To give you an idea of what a typical month is like, like in June 1, we track all multiple calls within the day. June 1, we had 8 calls in 24 hours. June 2, we had 8 calls, plus we had a brush fire at North Twin Lake, structure fires. We had 2 air ambulance calls, one on June 9 for emergency childbirth, where the mother was flown to St. Charles. And then again on June 19th, we had an air length flight from Station 102 taking a person to St. Charles. Currently we're out getting bids and pricing on doing some exterior cleanup and maintenance on all three of our fire stations. And so we participated in the city's cleanup day. So, you know, we are really interested in supporting the city of Lapine, improving the downtown urban renewal district. We're just concerned about losing what was $999,000, now it's a little over $1 million in tax revenue over the next 25 years. You know, that averages out to $39,600 a year. It costs us $40,000 a year to keep the Burgess and Day Road fire station open as far as utilities and operation maintenance. That doesn't include the staffing. And so even though, you know, it's proposed that it's only 1/3 of 1% of the tax base, that's still, as I said, $39,600 a year. Sending the 15 kids to community college costs $43,000 a year. And so there are alternatives to tax increment financing. The fire department last year went out for a 10-year capital local option levy, which the voters approved, which 100% of all that tax base goes to buying fire trucks, improving the facilities, buying major pieces of equipment. And by using a 10-year local option levy, then you get all that money each year. You don't have to start off at $50,000 a year and eventually work your way up to $7 million. And so recently we received a letter from Lapine High School thanking us for participating in their occupational health class, and several other students, based on our firefighters' participation in that class, expressed interest in going into the health occupation field. And so that's another way of getting students in Lapine into professional programs. And so we like to participate in those programs. And so I'd just like to ask the City Council to consider, you know, the impact on not only Lapine, but the Sheriff's Department and the other taxing agencies when you take $7 million from those folks over 25 years. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry, very much.
Thanks.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. Your city manager is here.
All right.
So if no one is opposed, I'd like to call him so he can be on speakerphone.
Okay.
Oh.
Hello. Welcome to the City Council meeting.
Oh, thanks. Sorry, everyone, for this, but I also have the mic going, so I see you all. And I can hear you fine.
Thank you very much, City Manager, for joining us. We will proceed. Ron Miller.
Ron Miller, 36 Big Leaf, Sun River. Thank you for the time, Mayor and Councilman. I'm a resident of Sun River in South County. I'm also a board member of the Lapine Economic Development Council, funded by the city and Deschutes County, which I appreciate. We've made a strong commitment to the economic development of South County, including Lapine. My position about urban renewal district is that I'm a very strong supporter of it. I should disclose that I am a developer. I'm in the consulting business, both in tourism and hospitality and other businesses. I've used this tool in other communities with very good success. I will say what I would note to the council at this point. This is a significant opportunity for Lapine to step forth. The region is looking at Lapine. This is an opportunity, and I'd also say to the other entities within this region, it's an opportunity to develop a collaboration and a culture of we versus I, me, they, or you. Urban Renewal District is a tool. I think Elaine's presentation was excellent. I have been to a number of the meetings. I've also reviewed the data that she and Echo Northwest has put together along with Rick. It's sound data. There are impacts, as any investment would be, and that's one way to look at that. This is an investment. This is an investment in the town, the community, and the future of Lapine. I'd also share my experience is that when done well, and the question, when done well in a collaborative manner, I would say it's a rising tide floats all boats. So whereas, in Lane's fairness, she showed the haircuts to some jurisdictions, I think it's proven out in a number of jurisdictions and areas where actually those entities have a triple net positive versus a negative through this investment and development. But again, as Elaine explained and it's been shared, it is a risk and it does require collaboration. Sorry about that. I didn't know whose phone that was. And leadership. So Elaine, I know, and her firm, Echo Northwest, I know Rick, I know their track record. And I'm here to fully support the city and their team in urban renewal.
Thank you very much, Ron. Bob DeVinand?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, but I've deferred also to Jerry Hubbard.
All right, thank you, Bob. Doug Cox? Sitting in a soft chair there, Doug. Sitting in a soft chair now.
It doesn't matter. Two bad knees, a bad hip, it doesn't matter. Yes. I'm Doug Cox. I live at 15480 Cyril Brooks Lane here outside of Lapine. I'm also with the Lapine Fire District and have been.
Have a chair to speak into the mic, thank you.
I have been with the Fire District for a number of years. Since 1988, in one capacity or another. I've been on the board for many years. I've watched this town grow. I've watched it change. I watched the fire district go out for a levy and have it passed by the voters better than any levy in the state of Oregon by a higher percentage. Every time, we haven't always gotten what we wanted. We've been turned down. But we've always come back. We represent the people with the fire district, and the fire district gave us money through through the vote of the people. I'm not against urban development, but we have to support the fire district. We have to go out to the people and ask for their money. Why aren't you? That's the question. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Doug. Chief?
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council, staff, City Manager Allen and Open Howard. Good evening. I have some comments here today, and so hopefully I'll be short, and we'll just get to it. Today, the City Council is here to hear testimony from the public and effective districts for the public record on a very important matter regarding how Lapine moved forward into the future together. I need to restate once again, the Fire District has enthusiastically support vibrant, growing, healthy communities. It is the funding plan and the taxpayers' trust that is at the issue, and the Fire Board has already shared many comments on the effects and real known that tax increment financing will have on your emergency and fire medical services. We know that because your Fire District has a working comprehensive strategic plan that looks out 20 years, and we do track every penny. The increment the city proposes to take from the fire district in the first year is stated at just 0.32%. Just 0.32%. But that will grow eventually by the city's own figures to just over $1 million, which equivalent to about a $40,000 loss a year to the fire district. So what's the problem? First, let's see what that means in relation to what we do. What does $1 million buy the fire district? It can buy 2 fire engines. It can buy 3 brush engines. It can buy 4 ambulances. It can buy 10 firefighters. It can provide the student scholarship for our scholarship programs for the next 25 years. It's maintenance and utilities of keeping just one of our fire stations open for the next 25 years. The first year increment, only $5,000, is our whole training budget. Second, and even more importantly, it's a great concern over this proposal in fire district. We live and die on increments. In the fire district, we live and die on increments. We really get wrapped around the axle about this stuff. Every day, every call. We have dedicated our lives constantly to working, putting the odds, even whenever so small, in the favor of the citizens we serve. We all know a couple minutes or a few seconds and a delayed response can mean the heart attack or stroke victim does not survive. The person in the trapped, crushed vehicle bleeds out, or a child drowns. We fight that golden hour. We fly heart attack, stroke, and trauma victims by the helicopter just to give them a few life-saving minutes. You know, there happens to be 31 million seconds in a year. Almost exactly the increment number, if it helps with math, is what we're using here today. So what is 0.31 in seconds in a year? It's equivalent to about 100,000 seconds. Or to do the math really quickly, over 2,000 calls, that equivalent to 50 seconds longer call for our fire district. It's only, though, a 0.31 increment. 50 seconds that a heart is not beating. 50 seconds that a fire keeps burning and we're not there. 50 seconds that a child not breathing. We measure life-saving medications in just milligrams and milliliters. We're the folks to top off the fuel tank to 3/4 of a tank every time so we never run out of fuel on the way to the hospital or when fighting to save your home. So what's the big deal if we let it go to half a tank? The difference just between 4 firefighters and 3 firefighters arriving at your house fire, just an increment of 1 firefighter, just a small increment, means we go from trying to do everything we can to save your home to doing everything we can to just save your neighbors. A hose just a few feet short means the fire gets away. Water flow is a few gallons shy, the fire does not go out. So increments do count to the fire district in a big way. You know we resole our boots just to ensure a few more dollars can go to life-saving measures? Yes, our firefighters resole all their work boots. Who in this room last time resoled one of their shoes? That's how we pinch our pennies. I know in my heart that you, Mayor, each member of the City Council sitting here, the City Manager, Consultant Howard, the Chamber of Commerce, and each person sitting in this room want to do the absolutely right thing for the City of LaPine. The question before you tonight is determining whether the Urban Renewal District and its funding mechanism that takes funds from other districts as proposed is the right thing to do. We've detailed the impacts to you. Now, if you bear with me, I'd like to offer a compass. We all know LaPine's a little different. You know this already. I'm just going to offer you some clarity. LaPine's not a place where wannabe cowboys come to show off. It's a place historically where real cowboys and cowgirls came to ride and work. LaPine is not a place that people come to visit because they want to brag about the place when they go home. They come here because the mountains are tall, the streams and rivers are clear, and the snow is deep and the fishing good. We don't have a crater lake here in LaPine, so let's get over it. We have 2. LaPine is not a place where parents send their children away from on summer vacation. It's a place where parents send their children to for summer vacation. The children who get to live in LaPine year-round don't ride to school in a fancy sporty SUV. They ride a faded yellow school bus, and if not, they walk. And even or, they may run to school every day, and if they do, they become an Olympic champion. In LaPine, we don't sell our lemons. We value, we fix, restore what we have. We don't have a Facebook. We have little D. We don't have Walmart. We have something way better. It's an employee-owned, local, Eugene-based Bymore. You go to a restaurant in LaPine, and more likely than not, you'll be seated and served by the owner. Like any rural community, health care can be difficult to access, even though many in this room are making that much better. But one thing for sure, when you fight cancer in Lapine, the whole community fights with you. You see, people don't live or come to Lapine because they made a lot of money, because they've worked hard during their life. We don't have celebrities living here either. We have veterans. All of this room tonight are here in Lapine because we're a little bit different. Not better, just different. And I all do believe we strive for what's right, even if that makes us different from the rest of the people in the state of Oregon. Because in Lapine, we stop and help each other. We don't take from each other. Our priority has always been our children and community safety. We also believe just because it's legal doesn't make it right. So let me finish up this and get back to the point. How do we know in a zeal to do the right thing in the fog of decision of creating an urban renewal district and funding it with tax and increment financing is good for the future of Lapine? I want you to leave a moral compass that I use every day. I expect staff to use, and I've used with the agencies I've been privileged to serve over many years. It comes from Mr. Bill Moyers. If the name's familiar to you, for those of us old enough to remember, he was President Johnson's press secretary and a very well-respected statesman and public policy expert. Mr. Moyer stated on September 12, 2001, and yes, that date is significant, so I'll say it again, 9/12/2001, Mr. Moyer stated, "During the last 36 to 24 hours, the world has never been presented with a clear definition of what is right or wrong, good or evil. Wrong, if you will, is when someone or a group of people take from another or do to another for no reason than other than a cause, no matter how right or just they believe that cause to be. Good, on the other hand, is when a person or a group of persons give of themselves totally if necessary for no cause or reason other than just to provide another." Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Dan Barco.
Thank you. Dan Barco, live on Pierce Road here in Lapine, just outside the city limits. I think you're faced with some choices now, and I think, as usual, you'll probably make good choices for the city of Lapine and for the Lapine community. You know, we all should consider ourselves as stewards of what we've been given. And we've been given this town. And we need to take care of it. We need to do the best that we can with what we have to take care of it. I understand that it means sacrifices. And a lot of our volunteers have made those sacrifices. A lot of people have donated money here and there to do what they can. But we have an opportunity now for all of us to kick in. The city's going to give up some money, as you saw on the board. The fire district will give up some money. All the districts will give up some money, but we'll all be contributing to making our city, the place that we call home, the place that we identify with, something that we can be proud of. And pride is an important thing. And I appreciate everything that Chief Supka said, because it was beautifully done, and it's very true. But in a way, we volunteer. It isn't taking away from anybody for anybody else. It's an opportunity for us all to contribute for everybody's good. There's nobody that won't benefit by having better pride in their community, being better stewards for what we have. What we have now is what you'd call deferred maintenance. A lot of deferred maintenance. Sometimes people that are unhealthy have an effective age. They might only be 40 years old, but effectively they can be considered to be 65 years old. Well, we're like 100 years old here, but effective age is maybe 150, because we have not been able to afford to maintain what needs to be maintained here. So I'd appreciate it if you would, you know, take the opportunity, make the right choices, continue to be good stewards as you have. You're all good people of integrity. As I believe all the people on the agency for urban renewal are people of integrity and will make good choices. We've already heard that we want to have public input. That's the number one thing. And so the choices that we make as we go forward, we select what we can do, what we need to do to make our community better. It's going to be done with public input, I believe. I mean, that sounds like a commitment. The other thing that I think is really strong in most of our hearts is that we want to maintain the small town feel. And I think that's, I'm fearful of doing anything but that, because we need to be this small town. One thing I'd just like to throw out there regarding the fire department. We value their service. This community came together and supported a permanent tax base for them. And this is an opportunity for them to show their appreciation and also give back to the community in some ways. If I understand it right, this may need to be confirmed, but I understood that because of the increase in tax values of the properties, that the budget for the Lapine Fire Department is supposed to go up in the realm of $200,000 in the next year. And urban renewal would take about $5,000 out of that, or $5,500 out of that. I think we can keep the fire department services together. And perhaps we can get some volunteers to go join there. Maybe there's some other ways to take up the shortfall, if in fact they have a shortfall. Because this town has volunteers, and I think we can make it work. We can do whatever it takes to keep the fire department viable. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. And our next sign up is Glenn Costello. I saw you. There he is.
Yep. How are we doing?
Doing great, yeah.
Glenn Costello, 16179 Hawkslayer. I just came to this last minute, and I was listening to what you had to say. Everywhere where you're talking about with the development, what is the scope of the work that you're going to do in the developed areas? And what's the price tag on that alone?
Yeah, let's speak to that.
Is this on?
Redland.
Is it on now? I'm not sure if you were here when we went through the projects list in the PowerPoint.
Yeah, I was here for the whole thing.
Okay, so the Urban Renewal Agency, from that list of general projects, will make decisions about specific projects to do. So they'll work with business owners on improving properties. They'll work on streetscape signage, lighting, improving infrastructure within the area. Mm-hmm. So there's not a specific project that says in 5 years they're going to do X, because it isn't for 2 years before they get any money, and it's a relatively small amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
By the time they get enough money to do anything big, factors will have changed in the community. So within those basic parameters, the Urban Renewal Agency will make decisions about specific projects.
Okay, and what about the rodeo area? I take it that's the rodeo area to the west there?
That's the rodeo area.
What are you just going
to... To help with the development as directed or requested from the Parks District.
As far as? I mean, are we going to put streets or water in, curb gutter, get all the civil work in, street lighting, all that kind of stuff?
Again, what the city is really good at is looking at what other sources of funding there can be to address issues. So I think at the point that project's ready to be developed, you'll know more about where you can get other kind of funding to help facilitate that.
Okay.
Where you need funding will be where the agency would look to put specific funding.
The reason I'm asking is I'm trying to get the grasp on $7 million.
Yep.
And that seems like the largest portion right there. Then you're talking about city sewer, water, utilities coming in, infrastructure, lighting. It's going to be I've seen it. I've been there. I am a developer myself. I've been a project manager on multi-million-dollar projects. I have seen cities get involved in urban renewal agencies. And they put all their money into investing into getting businesses in, but they never really put any money into the infrastructure. Morgan Hill, California, for instance, they brought in a ton of business. They brought in a ton of people. They did multi-family complexes and everything else, but they never worked on the infrastructure. And now they're stuck with a tight area to work on infrastructure. The reason I'm bringing this up, I think everybody needs to be aware of it. The chief over there actually put it very well. if we're going to be taken away from these services, and the schools and everything else, well, we just can't just float a number of $7 million up in the air and just go ahead and say that's what it's going to take in 25 years to build this thing up, to make it beautiful again. Because, you know, it cost a lot of money. I know how much it costs. I just built a 42,000 square foot medical university up in Yakima. Yeah, it was $42 million bucks, and it's not a very big building. They're still adding on to that thing. You know what I mean? So $7 million can go like that. And I just would hate to see that money be taken away from our services like this and be put into this without really getting some hard numbers and really getting the public aware, you know, really what our projected plan is going to be, what we're going to do. We hear about an arch, we hear about benches, we hear about all this other stuff. Where? What? Do we have a specific plan where we're going to put these benches and these arches and these signs, and who are we going to go after to put in with these storefronts? You know, I know there's a few buildings down there that really need it, but what's the plan? What are we going to go to the owners and say, okay, here, you know, we'll pay half the cost to beautify your strip mall, but we don't even know how much that's going to be. I just hate to see $7 million I'm already upset about. You know what I mean? I brought this up in the last meeting. But what happens when we surpass that $7 million bucks? What, we can't? So where's that money going to come from? Because I guarantee you it's going to go past $7 bucks.
No, it can't.
Glenn, let me just get in here at this point. And I'll ask the city manager if he wants to make a comment there. And if he doesn't, I have a few numbers. Rick, do you have any comments there?
We can't hear him.
Okay.
It's really down low over here. You may want to tell them home.
Hold on just a minute, Rick.
Okay, keep talk.
Hello?
Yes.
So, in a public hearing, you need to be a little careful about a back and forth. And that's kind of where we started to say, this is for people to comment. We've had numerous meetings. So you just be careful of that. So.
All right. All right.
This is a concern of mine, so I am being careful. I think I'm speaking from my heart right here. You know, it shames me that we're taking money from these guys. We're taking their funding away to train new firemen over the next 25 years to take care of the pine. You know, and most of us are going to be gone in 25 years. We're not going to be around here. You know what I mean? And then we got to think about our kids and everything. And those are the kids that are going to be protecting us. And it's the same goes with the sheriff and everything else. I'm sick and tired of hearing about the schools being cut all the time. And we were saying, oh, they'll get the money back, but you never see it. The only thing you ever see in the news is that teachers are going out and buying their own supplies for their own kids. I don't know. To me, it just sounds like we're saying $7 million bucks, and we're saying that it can't exceed that. I'd like to see more on paper. I'd like to see the whole plan. I'd like to see where everything's going to go. And it was that careful?
let me just say this thing. The whole plan is on the city website.
Okay.
And we've taken note of your concerns.
Okay.
And we appreciate you coming.
All right. Thanks.
Is there any further public comment? Hearing none, I will ask staff to read into the record several comments, and I have one following that.
So we have comments from Rich Prey, who is listed on the agenda. and this is headed concerning urban renewal. One, it is a great thing to get a city or area moving forward in a positive direction. We did this in Madras with our hotel, movie theater, and several other projects. That would not have happened without the urban renewal program. It gives that little extra shove to make things happen and start moving. Two, when doing these projects, it unites everyone within the city and business and community to move forward together. Three, in our case with the hotel in Madras, it helped bring a lot of very high-end business clientele into our area. We had many major state/business meetings where in the past none of this would have been possible. Four, it is important that we clean up our local communities. This happened in Madras. It is now a much better looking town than it was previously. This is what brings businesses, customers, and travelers into our communities. They are not going to come if we do not look and act sharp. It is just too competitive out there and they will go elsewhere. As I said, this unites the citizens and the people running the city to work together. It also helps various businesses to work together. I would highly recommend that everyone support this urban renewal and that we do it as a united group with everybody participating. Together we can become a force, everyone will benefit. Separate, we are a much weaker community. Why would we not want to do this? And then I have comments from Catherine DeBone, 16435 Sprague Loop, Lapointe. I regret not being able to join you this evening. I do, however, want the City Council and my friends and neighbors to know that I support the Urban Renewal District in Lapointe. Urban renewal is an investment in our community that will pay off big in the end, far more than if we did nothing. If we are not moving forward, we are decaying. It breaks my heart to see how much of our Main Street, in various stages of deterioration, and to hear of our neighbors from up north comment about how they have only driven through Lapine and never stopped. We have the friendliest, most dedicated, and passionate people in Central Oregon. We care about our community. We want to see improvements and have taken the steps to implement them. However, what we are lacking are the dollars to make it happen. Urban renewal is the tool that we have been looking for. It is an important piece of revitalizing Lapine and creating economic vitality. Worried about growth? The urban renewal plan adheres to the following principles on which Lapine was incorporated. Protect our small town feel. Build a better environment for our families and our children. Gain greater control over growth issues. Be responsive to the needs of seniors. Please vote yes for the Lapine Urban Renewal District. Respectfully, Catherine DeBone.
Is that it?
And that's everything, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. And that included the one that I had been prepared to read. Is there any further public comment at this time?
My name is Linda Reed and I live in Antelope Meadows. My family moved here in the mid-60s. This is my town, even though I'm Northern Klamath County, and I came here all prepared to go for the urban renewal, which I am not against, I am for. Gee, the chief just gave it to me. I mean, it was so compelling what he said. I don't want to take anything away from him, but our town is tired looking. I've been here since the 60s. There hasn't been a lot of improvement. You know, I don't want to be a big city. I want to be small. But geez, I don't envy your decision. I know you guys will make the right decision. I'm behind you, but wow, I just had a change. I don't know what to say. So, good luck.
Thank you very much, Linda. Any further comment? Hearing none, I will close the public hearing at this time. And Council, do you have any comments you want to discuss at this time? Take it you want to think about what you heard.
Yeah.
And I do want to say that I am extremely proud of seeing so many citizens here, so many interested individuals. Whether you live in Lapine or you live in what we all call Lapine, the greater Lapine area. We're all Lapineites.
Right.
And I'm proud of us for being able to get together and listen to each other's concerns and inputs. I respect and am proud of our fire department. I respect them coming to us this evening and laying before us their concerns and the way that it could impact them. I'm proud of each one of you that have taken the time to speak to this whole issue. It is important that we communicate. We all know that most times things fail right off of the bat because of the lack of communications. I've seen a great deal of effort, involvement, and input in this whole process, and I'm proud of all of us for having been part of it and making it happen in that way. So I thank you very much for being here this evening to address this very important issue that faces the council and in relationship to the impact it will have on the community in several ways. With that, we'll go to item number 8, which is a resolution number 2014-09, the resolution certifying certain unpaid sewer services charges to the Deschutes County tax assessor for assessment against the premises services.
So I'm going to do a staff report on that. I sent you guys a draft version. We do this every year. But it's just people who didn't pay their sewer bills. We're going to send them to Deschutes County. They'll need them. The number has gone down since the draft version I sent you. The version you had about, I want to say, $4,400 on it. Now we're down to $3,038.36. So unless you have specific questions, I just ask that you on the resolution. I can get it off to Tana and Deschutes County.
Questions, Council?
Everyone know exactly what this entails, what it's about, why we're doing it. Gary?
You comfortable?
I am.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve the resolution as stated?
So moved.
It's been moved?
Second.
And seconded? Is there any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it.
Thank you.
And also at this time, there is a item number 9 is approval to purchase streetlights. You have in your package an explanation of this item on the agenda. And we'll go to a discussion if you have it. Any? We've had time to look it over and understand the whole thing. Okay. Any further discussion?
Sure. I just have one question. What's the increase? Is this an increase from what we had?
Let me see if I can turn back up.
Try talking.
That shouldn't be the
problem. Doesn't look like yours, yeah.
Can you talk now? Oh.
What you need to do, you need to mute the computer. You can't. You can only have voice coming in and going from one device.
Okay.
Ask them how that is.
How's that?
Can you hear me on the speakerphone?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, I can hear all of you then. Is that okay?
Yep. Okay.
Can you hear me, Mayor?
Yes, I can. And
okay.
The question was, if you didn't hear the question, was there an increase in this light purchasing?
Not particularly. They used Mid-State on the project in front of City Hall, and that they're putting in the wiring and putting in the lights, and we had not actually ever ordered them from Mid-State. So they're pulling the wire through the conduit, and then they're installing our decorative lights. And that is the price they quoted. I mean, you can't chop it. That's Mid-State, and that's what they're charging. And then they give a discount per light that we negotiated before.
Okay.
If we do this again, we'll probably not do it this way.
Okay.
But, you know, we called it an experiment, and, you know, that's what we did out there, and we'll learn a lot from that and see how it probably, when we do some other phases, we would include it into a contract with the general, and it would just be installed, you know, and we'd buy the lights off the market, same kind of light, but we'd buy them off the market. So this is a learning process on this, and I would say that we probably could do it more efficiently. But Mid-State wanted to do this, and then our Public Works Committee, you know, they said let's have Mid-State do it, but this is the bill.
Okay. By the way, they put the grass in today, so it's beautiful out there.
Oh, I'll bet. Yes, I'm sure. I will see that next week.
Council, with that explanation, is there a motion to approve the purchase of the streetlights?
I so move.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
I'll buy my time. As long as we've learned our lesson, that will improve.
Yes. Yeah. All those in favor?
Aye.
I
believe we have a unanimous vote.
We learned.
Yep. We learned a lot. Okay. Other matters. There are no other matters. At this time, we will have another public comment period. And if anybody would like to make a comment about our beautiful frontage in front of City Hall, you're welcome to do it.
Well said.
It is gorgeous out there. If you haven't been out there to see it, please look. It's fantastic. Hearing no further public comment, we'll go to staff comments.
You know, I was just saying we put out an RFP and a current employment for our planner, because you know Deborah is working for the City of Redmond. And we ended up with three or four, and I brought them here, and so I'm reviewing them, and I think there's a couple that are very good that will work out for us. So next week, you know, I'll start down through that process, and so you know, by the 1st of August or something, we should have a planner on board. But one of the things we're going to do is have them in the office about, you know, once a week or something. They'd actually be there a few hours. People can meet them. So I think that's a big improvement. The business licenses have been rolling in, and poor Mike Supkus has been great. We have to email him all to Mike, and he's got a pretty good process in getting them back to us. And so we've been back and forth working with them on that. And then, you know, Corey can tell you he's been out in some of the businesses or numerous businesses. And so those are rolling in. A couple complaints I had, just if you hear it, is on a business license application, it's got a signature line for like, I don't know, actually four or five different people. It's the health department. It's, you know, different things. And the question was, well, I'm a shoe store, which is not true, but I'm a shoe store, and how come the health department wants to inspect my three compartment sink? Well, the three compartment sink doesn't have to be inspected in a shoe store, but it's the same application, and the restaurant across the street needed that. So just because all those signature lines are there, that doesn't mean that all those people are going to look at it. It is going to be based on the type of business that you have, who has to review it. But it gives us our chance to kind of catch things. And so we are sending them all to Mike at the fire department. And then, you know, he sends back and talks about fire extinguishers and just things that they need. And if there's one that we're worried about, would say, hey, chief, you know, why don't you do a double take on this one? That type of thing. So it's actually working well. And it's going to take us a month or two to get these all out. And in the future, it's just in renewal. So because it's this first time, it's a little more complicated and takes the additional staff time and so on. I guess that's
Rick, do we have a process in place that you see a truck from out of town, they're doing business in town, and move that information to somebody or transmit that information to somebody? Have we thought about that?
I think that that's the phase of it. I mean, I think we got to take care of the ones that are in town full time. And then I think then it's running some newspaper stories, and it requires, you hate to say it, but people have to tell on each other. You know, if someone comes to your house and they're a plumber and you call them Ben Plumber, people have to say, do you have a business license? If someone shows up to, you know, shampoo your carpet, do you have a business license? And that's what happens in town. And then the other businesses who compete with them, who buy a license, they're real good at turning in their competitors. but until we have everyone with a license, see, you just won't get there. So once we have our own folks with a license, they'll start. And, you know, Ben, if you saw Ben started theirs, I mean, they had a low compliance rate. They decided to get more aggressive and actually finding people and finding businesses because they've been at it a year or two and they just weren't getting the numbers that they know they have. You know, we're in, it started July 1 and today is July 9th. We're day 9, not year 2. So, you know, we'll monitor it. That's a good question, though. So I would hope people start, you know, asking, hey, do you got a business license?
All right.
But it's working good. And Corey can give an update on his little walk.
Okay.
I'll just add, I've visited over 100 businesses in the city limits of Lapine. And I haven't hit every one, but I think I'm getting close in terms of permanent establishments that operate year-round in Lapine.
Okay,
I'll add that we've gotten 60 of those 100 back.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
Very good. Very good.
You're in there. Rick's got a stack to approve once he gets back. He's at 35 now, I think.
None of his work went away. He will have to do it when he gets back.
That's correct.
So, anything else, staff? Hearing none?
No.
Hearing none, I will move to council comments. Anything, Karen?
I think we've got a lot to talk about. A lot to decide, and a lot of little steps to take so that we don't have to go backward. I learned a lot tonight.
Okay.
I just think we have a lot of investigating to do. We have to look into all these different aspects of what we discussed tonight, and really make sure where we're going is the right direction.
Okay.
Too. Should have put some extra deodorant on.
Me or you?
Both of us. I think a small community like this, there's a lot of passion out there for anything that affects our community. We saw it tonight, and you know, it makes a step back to really think on what we have to decide on. But I think, like was said by a couple people, that you know, we've been charged with doing what and representing the city and the well-being of the community. That's what we'll do. But on another note, I just want to thank everyone for the fantastic holiday that we had in our community. That's what it's about, is the people, the community, and the outlying area coming together for Frontier Days and the rodeo and our local businesses and making it a fantastic weekend. I had to go get a new pair of moccasins because I wore mine out going around all the different places, and I know the Frontiers folks, she's sitting back there in the corner, but we got to recognize Ann because she just worked her tail off again this year, you know, trying to keep everything organized and everything had a good, nice, smooth flow to it. The same out at the rodeo grounds. You know, so I'm proud to sit here as a city council member and represent the city. And you know, now we have a big challenge in front of us, but we'll do the right thing. And I just want to thank the folks for allowing me to sit up here. And thank you, Ann and Rudy.
Thank you, Stu. Well, I think it's very appropriate, and Stu has really hit on a biggie. You know, all the hotels were filled. People were having to stay in Sun River. Stay with friends. I just, all the restaurants were full. And I heard the comment about you're probably being served by the owner. True. There were so many things done well this time, as have been done in the past, but the traffic was horrendous. And the billfolds must have been full because I saw people packed in everywhere, and I hope they left a lot of it, and I'm sure they did. But we do have a great community here that comes together. The 4th of July happens to be one of our greatest times. I think it has no other place to go than up. We will do things over the next number of years that will make us all that much more proud of our community and those that we associate with. It's exciting time, and I'll take off one bit of what Stu said. We are all passionate about what we do. I know that everyone's setting up here this evening and every day, and that includes our Councilor Agin, are passionate about our city and doing the very best job we can and coming to the best decisions. I think we've always done that, and I think it's a great tribute to the ones that step forward in volunteering that we get so much good feedback saying we like the job you're doing and the things we see getting done. So with that, I will close the mayor's comments and ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Seconded.
Moved and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned.
Y'all look good on TV monitoring here.
All right.
How's it fishing?
Yes. Good night.